Hello. I know it's been like 5 minutes. Anyways, hello and welcome to the I'm Still Waiting for My Letter podcast. I kind of decided that I'm not gonna wait to attempt to find my first book because that's going to fail knowing me. And most of my books are a little worse for wear anyways, and I really wanted to update my podcast. So we're gonna start with Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Oh, and I'm Chelsea, but you can call me Lily. It's just me right now. Hopefully, I will expand to include my many Harry Potter fan friends. But as of right now, it's just me. Poor little me. Anyways, so I don't have any viewers yet, so I can't really talk about any of them. But when I get them, pure love, just saying. I love you all. Okay, so chapter one, the worst birthday. I just gotta say, opening this up, I'm thinking every year he seems to think that he has the worst birthday. I mean, come on, let's be perfectly honest here. He's Harry Potter, he doesn't exactly get good birthdays. Just putting that out there. Anyways, so it starts off with, as usual, the Dursleys and Harry fighting, because when do they not fight? And so Vernon is basically yelling because Hedwig is being restless because she's bored, and there's nothing you can really do about that. And then Dudley being his usual Dudley self. And Aunt Petunia giving him everything he wants. Because that's what Aunt Petunia does. And I'm laughing at the line where he goes, where Harry goes, "You've forgotten the magic word," because he's irritated by this point. And it makes me laugh because just him saying the word starts them all off, and it makes me laugh my head off. Every time I read this part of the book, because it's like that'd be like me saying, "Oh, look, there's a girl," if people didn't like the fact that I was a girl. It just makes me laugh for some reason every time I hear that. And everyone, all the Dursleys get really, really mad at him. And they're yelling at him and thinking that he's threatening Dudley because he wanted him to say please, and he calls Harry magic an abnormality, which it quite possibly could be, but I still wish I was a witch. And then he's talking about how Uncle Vernon had been treating him like a bomb that might go off at any moment. And I'm like, yeah, I would too, if I wasn't fully aware of the entire situation. As I'm reading this and they keep talking about muggles, I'm like, I wish I wasn't a muggle. The fact that I call muggles muggles when I am one is a little bit sad. So my big thing throughout this entire chapter so far, and I mean, we're talking about of course, the huge dinner party, right? And I'm thinking, if they don't want him to know Harry exists, why do they keep Harry in the house? I've been thinking that through this whole thing. Seriously, send him to Mrs. Figg's. I mean, come on, it'd be that much easier. Instead, we have to deal with Harry in his room, and then, of course, Harry is all annoyed and whatever because he has to go to his room. And this whole chapter is him being all, abused. I love this. "Jiggery pokery," said Harry in a fierce voice. "Hocus pocus, squiggly wiggly." And Dudley is scared out of his mind, and the fact that he thinks that he's actually doing magic is what makes me laugh. Because even as a muggle, to be that ignorant is just sad. So Aunt Petunia is cleaning the entire house, and so she's like, "Get in here and walk on the newspaper." So he sees all this amazing food. And what does he get to eat? Two slices of bread and a lump of cheese. I mean, come on, that's just cruel. And so Uncle Vernon's last words to Harry at this chapter was, "Remember, boy, one sound." So Harry goes on his bed. But there's someone already sitting there. I wonder. Alright, so, you know, just saying, this is going to start out really bad, but if you end up listening, please hold on until I get the hang of podcasting, because this is the first time that I'm actually podcasting and putting it out there, so it's going to be really, 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 really bad. But I love you all for even attempting. Alright, so chapter 2 is Dobby's warning. So, Harry manages not to shout out, and I don't know how. If I turned around and saw this adorable thing, but kind of creepy at the same time, because let's admit, before we know Dobby, we think he's kind of creepy. How do you not yell and scream and freak out? I mean, I was sitting in French class today, and we had to hear this annoying sound, and I was freaking out every time I heard it. I don't think I could see Dobby just sitting there and not freak out. Just saying. So the entire time I'm watching, I'm reading about this interaction between Harry and Dobby. I'm like, this just shows you how little Dobby. Sorry about this. I'm gonna mess up a million times. But how little Harry actually knows about the Wizarding World, because he's never heard of a house elf. And later on in the series, we hear about how many house elves are working in Hogwarts, and for him to know absolutely nothing about house elves at all just shows you how little he knows about the Wizarding World. But in sometimes I happen to like that, because it means that he's not as ignorant to their feelings as the rest of, or at least a lot of the wizarding community seems to. I mean, he asked Dobby to sit with them, and Dobby is so, like, amazing. He's like, "Dobby, sir, just Dobby. Dobby the house elf." And he's like, I mean, first of all, in like two sentences, we get his name like three times, which I love. But he's like, he's so down to earth. Like, he's this house elf, and he's going against the Malfoys, which is the most powerful wizarding family, to help this, like, 12-year-old kid. 12 or 13, or however old he turns here, don't ask me, I don't really remember, as much as I love Harry Potter. My mind's not working today. So, through this page that I'm looking over, Harry's just trying to be really, really polite. And so he's asking Dobby to sit down, because if we ever met someone, we'd ask them to sit down before we talk to them. And Dobby goes off. He's like, he bursts into tears. Like, it's really loud. So Harry thinks he's done something wrong, because he's like, "Oh my god, what did I do?" And so the elf's like, he thinks that he offended Dobby, but Dobby's like, "No, I just been asked down by a wizard, like an equal." And Harry has no idea what's going on. And Dobby's looking up at Harry, which is the most amazing thing in the world. And Harry's trying to do the nice thing and say, "You can't have met many decent wizards." And that sends Dobby off, because then he's talking badly about his masters, which of course is not good, which kind of makes me laugh. Just saying. So, and he's like, Dobby's being so good. He's like, "I have to punish myself," which makes me want to hurt myself, because he has to punish himself. And then he's like, "Because I spoke ill of his family, sir." And so now Harry's confused, because he's like, "Your family?" And Dobby's talking about, "Oh, the wizarding family Dobby serves, sir," because Dobby's a house elf. And Harry's really confused, because he has no idea what a house elf is to begin with. So he's like, "Dobby will have to shut his ears in the oven for this if they ever knew, sir." So Harry, being Harry, is like, "Well, won't they notice if you stick your ears in the oven? I mean, come on." And then, like, before we learn who his masters are, we don't know by this point, I'm thinking, Harry must be thinking this is the worst family in the entire world, because they go, Dobby, because Dobby says, Dobby doubts it, sir. Dobby's always having to punish himself for something, sir. They let Dobby get on with it, sir. Sometimes they remind me to do extra punishments. And so I'm thinking, Harry must think that he's pretty lucky to have the Dursleys, because he doesn't fully understand about the fact that Dobby's a house elf. And so while I'm reading this, I'm thinking, not that he's like actually lucky, but he's thinking, wow, there are actually people who have it worse than me, even though Dobby's not really a person. You think that he is, right? And so I'm thinking, this kind of relates to me in real life, because, I mean, when you think about it, we all think, oh my god, we have the worst life at all. Look at Dobby. His masters remind him to do extra punishments. That'd be like if I was making myself write lines because I talked back to a teacher, but the teacher didn't make me do anything because teachers never make me because I'm awesome. And so I make myself write lines because I feel guilty, and they remind me to do extra lines when I haven't done anything. I mean, I can't imagine living that sort of life. And so right here, Harry's like, and I thought it was I had it bad staying here for another 4 weeks. This makes the Dursley sound almost human, and this always makes me laugh, because this makes the Dursley sound almost human, and he's talking to Dobby, who's not human, and I'm just like, it always just sort of struck a nerve with me, because I'm like, I don't know, I was really young when I started reading these books. So now Harry's speaking out, because Harry's trying to be a nice guy. He's asking, can he help Dobby? What can he do? Can anyone help? He's doing what I think all of us would do in this situation, because he still grew up with Muggles. He doesn't understand all the wizarding codes, right? So Dobby's going off, and I'm laughing so hard because I can just picture, even before seeing the movie, because they show you a little picture of Dobby, I can see him hitting his head against the wall and Harry frantic because the Dursleys are going to come up and yell at him and scream at him. And I'm just like, yes, yes. Like, I could totally see this all happening. And I love how everyone always calls Voldemort he who must not be named. It just, I don't get what the difference between saying he who must not be named and Voldemort have to do. Like, if I say he who must not be named, I'm naming him without naming him. That's always irked me, just saying. And then, now the reason why the last chapter was the worst birthday was because Harry was getting no mail from any of his friends. So, Harry still doesn't understand why he can't say Voldemort. So he goes, so when Dobby goes insane, do not speak the name, sir, speak not the name. Harry's quick to say, sorry, my friend Ron, and then he stops because he's like, well, if Ron doesn't care about me, I won't mention Ron because it hurts him. And so Dobby's like, sir, I just have something to tell you. You can't go back to Hogwarts. And so now Harry's like, what? I have to. It's the only thing that keeps me going. I have to go back. I don't belong here. And so Dobby says Harry would be in mortal danger. And I'm like, this always kind of bugs me. Because I'm like, how does Dobby know so much? I mean, I guess he's a house elf, so people kind of forget he's there. But at the same time, you'd think that the Malfoys would at least, or his owner, his master, since we don't know who they are yet, would like at least tell him, like, okay, whatever you hear in this house, you can't repeat to anybody, because seriously, he's going around and telling Harry, who's going to tell Ron, who's going to tell Hermione, who's going to tell everyone, and then soon everyone's going to know. So Dobby's like, Dobby has known it for months, sir. And I'm like, why months? And I guess the Malfoys must have given Dobby some sort of order. Because when Harry asks who's plotting them, he makes a choking sound like he can't say. Which brings me to a question. If a house elf isn't commanded not to say, if a house elf isn't given a command, but let's say Dobby wasn't given a command by the Malfoys, and then, but when Harry asks who's plotting them, is a house elf still magically bound to not speak ill of his masters? And if so, does that mean that he cannot say because it would mean speaking ill of his masters? Or do you think that he was given an indirect order to not say anything about who's plotting the problem. So he's trying to give a hint. Because he's like, no, not he who must not be named, sir. And obviously we find out later on exactly what that hint is. And Harry, God bless Harry's heart, goes, he hasn't got a brother, has he? And I'm like, yes, that makes my day. And Uncle Vernon's trying to, you know, make up brother noise and whatever. And all through this, you know, then Dobby says something that got Harry kind of suspicious. He's like, friends who don't even write to Harry Potter. I find it interesting he doesn't say sir. But anyways, so he's like, well, how do you know? And then he's like, have you been stopping my letters? So he gets all these letters. And he grabs the pudding. Dobby uses his magic to get the pudding. And Harry, all Harry has to say is that he won't go back to school, but he won't. So Dobby sends the pudding to the floor with a heart-stopping crash. And then Uncle Vernon's all like, okay, he's trying to gloss over it. But then it's all like, no, that won't work. And then he got a letter saying that he was expelled from said school. It's from Mathilda Hopkirk. The Improper Use of Magic Office, and from the Improper Use of Magic Office. And of course this kind of ruins Harry's protection, because now Uncle Vernon found out that he's not allowed to use magic outside of school, because it says, as you know, underage wizards are not permitted to perform spells outside of school, and further spell work on your part may lead to expulsion from said school. The decree for the reasonable restriction of underage sorcery, 1875, paragraph C. Ooh. So he's like, slipped your mind, I dare say. So he's locking him up, and because he can't use magic to get out, because then he'd be expelled, he thinks that he's finally won. But what I don't understand is, if he hates Harry so much, why doesn't he just let him go? Because then you don't have to deal with him. And I'm like, it makes no sense to me sometimes to thinking. Because why lock him? Why lock him in? And you know, just saying, it bugs me the fact that he got, you know, what I don't understand is why Muggles weren't wondering why he got bars put on the window. And so he feels like he was in a zoo. This chapter ends with him feeling like he's in a zoo. And Dobby's just like, Harry Potter is safe there, sir. And I'm all like, no, he's not. Bad things tend to find him wherever he goes. Doesn't really matter. And he's like, stop it, I'm trying to sleep, whatever, right? Because he thinks, so then he opens his eyes and someone was looking through the bars, and that was, you know. I love how they describe him, a freckle-faced, red-haired, long-nosed someone. And it was Ron Weasley was outside Harry's window. So that brings me to the end of chapter 2. I know I'm horrible at podcasting. Pay no mind to that. Like I said, I love you all, and please don't give up on me just because it's horrible, because I feel bad. So I will be starting a My Leaky group as soon as I get done publishing this podcast. Again, my My Leaky account is lily_potter.jr. So there's that. And then I'm hoping on word of mouth, so if one person, if you hear this podcast and you think it's partially salvable, please feel free to email me. You can contact me at maltese-poo@hotmail.com. I haven't felt like setting up a new email just for this, just for the podcast. I will eventually, and when I do, I will give you that new information. But till then, feel free to email me at that email address. And please spread around to your friends that you have like my podcast. Again, to anyone who listens, lots of love. Hopefully you don't hate me for studying on the second book. And there wasn't much insight this time, but there will be later on, I promise. Till then, there are a few words I could say, but I will just say, forever awaiting my letter. Chelsea, aka Lily. Lots of love. Bye.